Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, follow, and subscribe so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting, inspiring, and encouraging show. My guest today is Southern soul singer. He's going to really explain, you know, what he calls his music. Writer and producer, owner of over 25 sound record label, and former radio personality, Robert Smith, a.k.a. Big Rob. His song, Please Don't Judge Me, is one of his gospel songs. It has received, from my notes here, over 4 million views on YouTube. And as a songwriter, y'all gonna love this. He penned Bishop Bullwinkle's mega hit, Hell to the No, No, No. And the video of that song has received over 100 million views on YouTube. His latest album is fantastic, and it has been in the number one spot on the Soul Blues chart since its release. So before we get started on his story here, I want to also tell you that he's worked with Shirley Murdoch, Roger Troutman, Zapp, and many other great funk and R&B soul artists. And he's got an interesting story about his faith and his upbringing. Big Rob, welcome to the show.
Sister Lynn, God bless you. Thank you for having me. Make sure you tell everybody. I said it's spelled B-I-G-G-R-O-B-B. So when they go, because they go, after me and you get, after they get finished listening to me and you talk, they gonna want some fried chicken recipes, some oxtail recipes, and to buy some Big Rob music. B-I-G-G-R-O-B-B, baby. What's happening, Miss Lynn? How you doing, baby?
Oh, I am just, as we say, blessed and highly favored, and just happy to be here in this. We're still here, Rob, in the midst of this pandemic. We are still here.
Absolutely, and I'm a COVID-19 survivor. I had it when it first kind of kicked off, and man, I was sitting by the fishing lake and came home and man, started feeling weirder and weirder and weirder, but God has blessed me to make it through. And you know, for 2022, my theme and my word, I don't think that blessed is good enough anymore, so I'm just using the word grateful. I'm just grateful. You know, I mean, just grateful. I think that grateful expresses blessed, thankful, and all that in one, you know?
We're blessed, but we are grateful to be here. You are absolutely right. That's a really, really, really good one. Now, you are in Ohio, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, and that's always, you know, between the Cincinnati and Dayton area is always home, so I spend a lot of time in the South now, but yes, ma'am. Born right there, what they call the land of funk, you know, the home of some of the greatest funk records and funk musicians and artists that have ever walked the planet.
Speaking of those funk folks, who were you listening to while you were growing up? I know you have this interesting sound, which is a mix of sounds.
Oh, man, first and foremost, you know, in the R&B world, I'm a Jackson 5 fanatic. Have been, always will be, you know what I mean? From the first time I ever heard I Want You Back, and I was a little bitty boy, much smaller than Michael and him at the time, but I just loved the Jackson 5, and then I wouldn't listen to anything probably for the first 10 years of my life but Jackson 5, other than on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, Mama would come in there, and then she was making that breakfast. She would lift all those Jackson 5 records up off the component set, as we called them back then, and she would put on that Aretha Franklin Amazing Grace album. So that's the quintessential greatest gospel record ever made. I know people will argue and say what they like, but that's the one I love. You know, Old Mary Don't Weep and Precious Memories, and that's how I learned how to learn the 23rd song, being a little bitty boy.
Oh, from the Aretha's Amazing Grace album.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. So, but I love all that. And then I got off into the funk world and discovered, my heroes, you know, Boosie Collins, George Clinton, Zapp, Gap, and all things funky. And, you know, then rap came along, and here comes Sugar Hill and Curtis Blow and Run DMC, and the list goes on and on. But, you know, if you got in my car today and I said, come on, let's go get us a fried whiting sandwich from over in the hood, I probably had a Jackson 5 singing in the background.
The ABC, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, your music, you mentioned those gospel songs, but you mentioned gospel and you mentioned funk, but you call your music big soul. Why do you call yours Big Soul?
Well, it's Big Soul. Actually, it's feel good music. It's we started a new label called Big Soul. The original label was Over 25 Sound, and then we just started this new label, Big Soul. But it's just it's feel good music. It's grown folks' music. It's music that speaks to the experience of growing up, being, you know, being black, growing up, you know, just in the hood, growing up where in the same refrigerator as ketchup and they have hot sauce, and mom and daddy may work all week, and they come home and they put on Al Green, or they put on the Parliaments, or they put on, you know, Tony Braxton, and, you know, they may have a glass of Moscato, they just may have some green tea. I just grew up in that experience, you know, bologna sandwiches and potted meat and sardines and saltines and Vienna sausages. So the music that I make represents that life, kind of like that lifestyle, just something that makes you feel good, something that you just put on. If you like Frankie Beverly and Maze, you love Big Rob. If you like the Gap Band of Zap, you like Big Rob. If you like good music, Earth, Wind & Fire, the Commodores, you're going to like some Big Rob, because all that flavor, I am what I grew up listening
to. So when did you know that you could write songs and produce and be an artist?
You know, ironically, I was on the playground, like a little bitty guy. You know what I mean? Little bitty guy. And I thought that, like when I heard Dancing Machine and all them, I thought them was my songs, because I'd been on the playground playing with my little, you know, toys and stuff, and I've been humming, just been a songwriter all my life, and I didn't even know that that's what I was doing, but I can just remember writing songs and making up my little songs on the playground. And then years later, I found out that my father, he had that gift too. He was more of a poet, because I was going through some of his things one day and, you know, helping him organize. So I said, Daddy, what's all these little pieces of paper? He said, oh, when I get a thought, I just script it on the back of a piece of paper or something. So it just came through the blood. You know, just came to the blood.
So Daddy was writing poetry, and you didn't know. What was Mama doing?
Mama was making sure that every Sunday morning, about 6:30 in the morning, I got up and washed behind my ears and brushed my teeth, and we was never late for that church service. Mama was making sure, you know, that I was sitting next to her, because when I was a little boy, I was also what they call mannish. So Mama sent me right there next to her on church, and, you know, little kids, you sit at the pastor, he just was sweating and hollering and sweating and hollering. You don't know what he's talking about, but you know, if you laugh, you're going to get smacked, and if you be good, one of them sisters at church going to press one of them little peppermints, a piece of wintergreen candy or something in your hand. Baby, you did good today. So I was following Mama to church every Sunday morning, working for candy, being good for candy.
Working good and working hard and being good so you can get that candy. Did you ever participate in any of the music things or programs at church with the kids?
Oh, absolutely. They talk, yeah, because you get candy for that. When you lose, you get candy, of course. You know, so we have a little play or something. You know, I volunteer. I want to be one of the wise men, absolutely. You know, absolutely. So absolutely. But the good thing was that my mama taught me the same thing I tried to teach my kids was. It wasn't even important what her name was or none of that. It was important to know that God was who God was, and that he loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus, and whoever believed in him shall inherit the kingdom of life. And you know what I mean? And so she taught me that, and she was indelible force. You know, now, you know, not that my father didn't, but, you know, I learned other things from him, how to wear floorsome shoes, and when if you're going to drink brown liquor, put in little bitty glasses. I don't know why those old guys used to put in little bitty glasses. Like, I don't know why they was doing that. But, and then back then when I was little, everybody smoked Cool Filter Kings and, you know, was happy whenever somebody black came on TV, because I'm 54 years old now. So, and you remember those days that, you know, I mean, oh my goodness, Sammy Davis and them got a special. And we would, you know, that was a holiday to us, man. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, to see someone black on, so to see someone black or African American on TV that bolstered a sense of pride and joy and happiness in the people at the time, in the hood, in the community.
Absolutely, and I have to give special shout out to two wonderful publications, which would be, first of all, the Johnson family, you know, with Ebony and Jet and Black Stars and all that, because that's how we got our information in the hood. I mean, if you didn't, you know, if you didn't grow up rushing to see what the top 20 records was in Jet or see what the latest information was that was coming into our neighborhood, Jet did that for us, and also Mr. Earl Graves, because he had a magazine called Black Enterprise.
Right.
And so that showed us that we could go out and we could do business, and we could be more than what it was that we were currently at the time. So I grew up, you know, reading a lot of that stuff too.
So speaking of business, you ended up as a teenager doing radio, and so how did that come about?
Just a gift. and this God. I mean, every day I could tell you all these things, and well, this happened and that happened. The bottom line is that my mom and my grandmama then went somewhere and pled the blood of Jesus on me and asked God to bless me. And so I walked into this little radio station in Cincinnati, Ohio, when I was 11 years old. Skipped school that day to go down there because I just was inquisitive and wanted to see. Mm-hmm. Man, I heard they said I could come down there. I could talk on the radio, and got into this program where they taught me the art of radio. And I still, even to this day, I have the Big Rob radio show, which is syndicated, and we into about 12 or 15 markets right now, where I play, you know, blues and soul and old school and all that. But that's where it started at, man. Just talking to some elders, and they gave me the opportunity. They were just kind of laughing because I was such a little young guy, but they said I seemed so focused and I knew what I wanted to do. So they gave me the opportunity, and it's been a blessing, because that's where all this music stuff really springboarded, was from me starting working at the radio station.
So from growing up around music, going to church, then getting into radio, and then from radio, that's when you launched into the recording industry. But let me see, you somewhere in there, you connected with Roger and Zap. How did that go, the segue from radio into the music industry?
Just like yourself, able to interview, you know, famous people, I found out that since I was now a radio announcer, I was about 13 at that time, I could actually go to these stars that were from around my neighborhood in my city and say, hey, man, can I talk? Can I interview you? And of course, I was so young, they was like, sure, let's do it. And the first guy I met was Reggie Calloway. His group was called Midnight Star. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I met Bootsy Collins and his brother Phelps Catfish Collins. And then from that, I met the Troutman family and met Roger. And that within itself was just a heck of a thing, because the first day I ever met Roger, it was like we were old friends. And then so I piled around those guys and, you know, just start just hanging out wherever they was at. I wanted to be, and whenever they would come home to do shows, or I knew they were at the recording studio or something, I just was always hanging around and always just in the corner kind of watching and just wanting to be around it. And then once I got grown and old enough to go on the road, and I needed a job too, Roger sent me down and said, hey, little bro, you know, I got nothing but love for you. And you know, you're a grown man now. You're 18 years old now. And so your parents are no longer responsible to put food in your stomach every day. And I got a thing. You can help me and I can help you. And I said, okay, well, how can we do this? He said, hey, man, you come over here and drive this limousine for me. I'm going to give you a job. And that way you'll be able to feed yourself. And, you know, come on over and do what I tell you to do. And, man, that was just been, you know, I've been on that roller coaster ever since.
Well, we talked off mic about how I also worked with Roger and Zap, Shirley Murdoch as well. They were on one of the labels under Warner Brothers Records.
Yeah, first Zap was on Warner Brothers, mm-hmm. and then later on we moved on to Reprise, absolutely.
Yeah, and they were all still under the big Warner Brothers Records family of labels. And they were some wonderful folks to work with, so that was truly, truly a blessing and a life lesson for you to be able to work with them. What was so great about working with Roger?
Wow, let me see if I can answer that without tearing up. He just was, Roger was an angel. He was heaven sent. Roger was a child prodigy. He played over 15 instruments or more, and, you know, just a musical genius guy. And the guy who brought him to Warner Brothers was Bootsy Collins, who also was one of my mentors, and George Clinton.
Okay.
George Clinton is, you know, the guy who put it all together, right, and put Bootsy and Roger on. And Bootsy, before I started working with Roger, I worked with Bootsy. And okay. So I was already kind of prepared for working and being professional and all that. You know, hey, man, you got to have a suit and tie. You got to show up on time. You got to be early. And then with Roger being his right-hand dude and just the guy that was there, you know, man, it was just phenomenal because, you know, he was a workaholic. And he stayed in the studio morning, noon, and night, and he played all these instruments. And when you listen to those records, the music speaks for itself. That guy piled his heart and soul in. You were ever blessed to see a Zap and Roger show. You know, people left feeling like, oh, man, that's the baddest thing in the world. And one of the craziest scenarios I ever had, though, was that Roger decided I was going to be in the band, and I just was his assistant, just, you know, helping him keeping up with all his instruments and doing all that stuff. I'm happy doing that. But he decided I was going to be the MC of the band.
Wow.
And this skit was developed for me where I come on stage and I wear a diaper and I shoot silly string on people. And I'm a plus-size guy, so I would run across the stage with that diaper on. And I'd come out there and do a little rap and then run off to the side and rip my clothes off and just have this diaper on. And, you know, all in fun, nothing like sexual or any of that. But people would just laugh because they were laughing because it was, you know, here's this big plus-size guy who's out here with nothing but this diaper on. And, man, I became became famous for doing that in the Zapp show, and did that, you know, from the time I started till the day I left the band. So
you and I had a really interesting conversation off mic about Roger and was killed tragically, but you talked about your experience after the service, right? And one of the pastors had an interesting comment to you about what it is that you all do in terms of artists that are singing Southern soul or R&B or, as quote unquote church folks would say, secular music. But he had something really interesting to say.
Right. So on April 25th, 1999, our manager, Larry Troutman, who was the manager of the band and also Roger's big brother and a wonderful guy who led us all down this positive path. Unfortunately, they had whatever their issue was, and Larry murdered Roger and turned the gun on himself. So as an extended member of the family, let me just say this. So on that day, I lost two people who I love very, very much. It's like, it wasn't like, you know, I can't different. I lost two people. The family, we lost two people we love very much. So we did a memorial service. Shirley Murdoch put together this memorial service, and all of our peers were there. Charlie Wilson, Ohio players, Lakeside, everybody came to, you know, to this memorial service the night before the actual funeral. And after we all got up and spoke, the pastor who had opened up his church to us, you know, he's letting these R&B musicians come over here and pay tribute to their homeboy or whatever. That's as much as they did, but they let us in, being obedient to the Spirit. He got up and tears started streaming down his face because he had sit there through the whole memorial service and listened to everybody get up and talk. Myself, Shirley, Charlie Wilson, Lakeside, Ohio Players. And he said, man, I live in the church world. He said, but you guys, what I just heard you guys say, I know that you all are good boys and good girls and you all were raised the right way. And I know y'all love the Lord. He said, and then he all went on to say, he said, him being a pastor, we had been afforded the opportunity that he wasn't afforded. He said that, you know, he went to the hole in the wall of the juke joint just trying to sit there and have a Coca-Cola and just talk to somebody, maybe just even minister to somebody and just tell them about God. He would be ostracized for that. Everybody said, oh, Pastor such and such is down here at the bar. What's he down here doing? So he reminded us that we had a great opportunity to go out and let our light shine and to stand where we were called at. So Big Rob, I'm able to go into the hole in the wall in the juke joint in between Down Home Blues and Hell to the No-No, but at the same time, say something to that sister, that brother who may be going through something and encourage them. And so that was the message that he gave. We were able to take God's word in places that even pastors and deacons couldn't take.
That is absolutely right. Some of the church folks say they wouldn't set foot in the juke joint, but you know, that's what they say. So, but you never really know. Now that's...
Well, and let me say this. I go to both of them. I got saved when I was 3 years old and I got baptized when I was 4. I understand God's word and the scripture that I hold on to is Romans 8:28. It says, for we know all things work together for them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. Oh, that says all things. So that means if you was riding on your bicycle at 6 years old and you fell and you scratch your leg up and now at 50, you can still show that scratch, but that made you not ride so fast in the rain. All things work together
for good. Yeah, for them.
Right. And we have to stop being so judgmental. That's why I wrote the song, Please Don't Judge Me. God's not finished with me yet.
And you wrote this song and you said you wrote it because of situations like that.
Yeah, I was leaving a juke joint and I heard a lady and she was having an argument with somebody else, and the lady, it was horrible, you know what I mean? It was a horrible argument. On the way home, I said, man, if I could show that lady a video of what she was just saying, the way she was carrying on, tomorrow morning when she wakes up, she would probably say she would be so ashamed. And I said, man, I always hear people talk about, you know, please don't judge me. I'm a work in progress. God ain't finished with me yet. God, and he's not finished with any of us yet. So we have to stop judging people, especially in this day and time as life changes and we get closer, as far as I'm concerned, to the rapture, and we just get closer to what's going on. None of us have a heaven or hell to put somebody in. I don't care how much you read your scripture. I don't care how many church services you went to. I don't care how many tithes you paid. You're not God and you're not Jesus. And okay? And we have to, and we're called to speak light into people's lives. And some men plant seeds, some men water seeds, but only God can give the increase to make it grow. So just because you're sitting in the church house all day long, you can't assume that somebody else didn't, or you can't assume that that's going to get you a greater seat in heaven just because of that. So let's stop putting our mouths on people and let's uplift each other rather than say, I know I'm going to heaven and you ain't going, because how do you know? True. How do we know?
Because the Bible does say, you know, there is a scripture that talks about that. Judge not. I'll have it word for word, right? But that's the gist of it.
It doesn't matter. Our listeners, they get the gist of it. And so with that, and I also understand that, you know what I mean? Like I said, you know, it's I'm saved. I love the Lord. I'm not worried about my belief, because I stand on my beliefs. And what I found out is, once again, That man that may, that man or that woman that may be sitting in that bar in that place that's supposed to be just a den of iniquity, right? That man might have got a bad report, and he may be sitting there having an ice cold beer. He may be sitting there trying to get his mind. He may have to go home and tell his children that he just found out he's not going to be here next year, and he's just trying to learn how to process that. So we have to have a little bit more a whole lot more compassion for each other, and that's where it all comes from. Let's just have some compassion. Now, certainly people will say, well, Big Rob, the scripture also says that no man can serve two masters, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not, in my mind, I'm not serving two. I'm serving only serving one, and I'm standing where I'm called at. And I also read a wonderful book by the late, great Dr. Miles Monroe called In Pursuit of Purpose. And it said that once you find your purpose. So as people out here trying to find their purpose, let's not judge them. Because the person, all of us have fallen short. And I'm quite sure if somebody shows us a snapshot then of who we were 30 years ago, there's something that we did that we'd be ashamed of, maybe 30 minutes ago. You know what I mean?
And and we live in this cancel culture. They want to cancel you quickly, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. So let's just continue to go out and just, you know, just try to let our light shine. And if you can just smile at somebody or just have a kind word for somebody, the scripture said kind word turneth away wrath. So even if that person is not living in the lifestyle that you understand to be absolutely positively correct, you have to judge. You have to, when you go to get communion, sister, one of the first things the pastor is supposed to tell you before you take this communion, they tell you to search yourself. Right? Search yourself, because if you've been living out of order with God, this taking this communion out of order with God would be like you're drinking damnation to your own soul. Now, I know I'm just a blues guy and an R&B guy, but I do know the Lord, and I do love the Lord, and just in basic layman terms, let's just have a little bit more compassion and love for each other, and that's what that song says, please don't judge me. I may not be all that I want to be, but Lynn, thanks be to God, I'm better than what I used to be. If that's not your testimony, then you better go back and listen to the Staples singers, because she said, you know, you're going out in the world backwards like you did when you first come here.
Yes, respect yourself.
Yes, ma'am. So let's just respect each other. Let's not judge each other. Let's lift each other up.
Please don't judge me. That is your single, and it's from the album Fantastic, right?
No, actually, it's a little bit older song.
It's a little bit older. Okay, but your new album is Fantastic, right?
Yeah, the new album is called Fantastic, and, you know, I have these inspirational songs that God blesses me to do.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of, you know what I mean, and that was one of the songs. I also did it with a guy who was one of my heroes growing up in Cincinnati, a guy by the name of Kurt Foster, who's one of the five blind boys, and him and his family, the Foster family, his brother Sandy Foster Jr., they have a long history in the gospel world. Mm-hmm. And so I called Kurt up, because when I wrote the song, I said, man, I know exactly who I need to sing on this song, him and my sister Nicole Jackson, and I did the narration and let Kurt do the singing, and go check it out. It's a wonderful, I think, inspiring song. And keep in mind, you know, I'm not trying to be a gospel artist. I'm not trying to be anything other than a child of God and just let my light shine.
So where can they find your current music out there on the digital platforms?
Everywhere where good music is sold, iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. Like I said, Big Rob is spelled BiggRobb. And you can find us everywhere. You know, there's over 27 albums I've done in the last two decades. I'm a workaholic, and I try not to take too many days off. And I'm quite sure you'll go through my catalog and you'll hear something that you get inspired by. There's actually a Big Rob gospel album called A Grown Folks Gospel, Songs of Encouragement, Volume 1. And on there you'll find greats like Sister Shirley Murdoch, who's my big sis. We go all the way back to the Zap days, because Roger Troutman discovered her, and, you know, all that. And so we all a family, and Pastor Ronnie Hoard, and just so many wonderful folks that I've worked with. So just trying to let my light shine. I feel like if I sing about problem, I'm also obligated to sing about some type of solution. So if I tell you, come on, let's party and have some fish and a little sippy sip, then I also got to get you ready for Sunday morning and say, put Kool-Aid in that cup, young man, and get yourself together.
All right, then. So, folks, you can find Fantastic, the album, out there on digital platforms everywhere. The gospel song, Please Don't Judge Me, you can find that. And you can find a bunch of his music on YouTube as well. Like, Please Don't Judge Me, like I said earlier, it has amassed like 4 million views. And then you have Hell to the No, No, No by Bishop Bullwinkle, 100 million views. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. We're about 100 million views. And let me say this. I wrote a song called Looking for a Country Girl.
Okay.
Let me tell you this part of it.
Okay,
I wrote a song
okay.
called Looking for a Country Girl. And Bishop Bullwinkle came along and heard that song. And he sampled my music. And went in and put the words of Hell to the No together. Then I met him and gave him a few observations about, well, man, because I liked the song. And once I met him, I saw what it was. He was a comedian, and I saw kind of what it was, what he was going for. It was a little abstract, but I was like, okay, I see where you're trying to go with this, huh? And the song is really real. That's why it resonated with so many people. Yeah, and I feel honored that he used my music and, you know, made Hell to the No, and it's a humorous song. And he has some other stuff in his catalog, so, you know, that's not necessarily going in that direction. But on Hell to the No, everybody got the gist of it, and the gist of it is it goes back to compassion. It just goes back to, that's just real, you know what I mean? That's what the song is. He wasn't saying nothing bad in the song.
No,
you know, don't play with God. You know, I mean, you say you're living right, but I see you doing wrong, and that's what the gist of what that song was talking about.
Big Rob, where can folks connect with you and find you on social media?
HEYBIGGRBB, just like you want some good sweet potato pie and macaroni and cheese. You say, hey, Big Rob. But you know, I know where the best macaroni and cheese is in Cincinnati, Ohio. So on Instagram, that's where you can find me. I guess they say hashtag HEYBIGGRBB. Also on, you know, you can find me on Facebook. And man, you know, we're not hard to find. You know, we're available. You got to come do a show. We ready. Let's go to work. That's what we do.
That is what we do. Inspire, encourage, and uplift the people through your music, through your words. Make them feel good and just have a good time and just be joyous. We need some joy right now, especially in the middle of this pandemic. We need some joy.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I wrote a song into my catalog called Don't Let the Rain Steal Your Sunshine. That's an inspirational song as well. And I did that with Shirley Murdoch. Don't let the rain steal your sunshine. So be encouraged. You know what I mean? Be encouraged. You got some gray hair. It's okay. Go on, you know, just decide what color magic marker you're going to write on there. You're just going to let it go ahead and turn white. You got more bills at the end of the month than you got money. Don't worry about that. It won't be the first month that that's happened. And you put on a few pounds. Hey, it look good on you. I mean, we have to continue to encourage each other, man. You know, we just have to continue to encourage each other. So that's what the Big Rob movement is all about, bringing joy and bringing some happiness to folks.
All right. Well, Big Rob, we thank you so much for joining us today. We really, really, really do appreciate you and all that you do as you uplift the people through music.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for going through all that you go through to keep the microphone on over there and keep the lights on over there, because if you don't do that, then independent artists such as myself may never get a platform to talk to the people. So I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome. And audience, thank you too for joining us today. I appreciate you. But make sure that you subscribe. Do this right now. Subscribe so that you never ever miss an episode of this uplifting and inspiring show. Now to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS. Or Instagram at Lynn Woods 96. Or Facebook, just Lynn Woods. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Now, Big Rob is going to take us on out with just a little bit of his song. And listen to this, y'all. Please don't judge me. God bless.
Please don't judge me.
Please don't judge me.